the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today, a great many Christians around the world celebrate the Feast of St. Matthew on St. Matthew's Day, which is today, an occasion to reflect upon the life and witness of one of Jesus' closest followers, and a man who, it must be said, was utterly transformed by the call of God in his life. So each year on September 21st, the Western Church, of which we are a part, and on November 16th for our Orthodox sisters and brothers, Christians together remember Matthew not merely as an evangelist, but as someone who was called and transformed and sent out by Jesus. And the reading set for his feast day today replace those, of course, set for this otherwise regular Sunday. And I think they invite us to contemplate what it means to follow Jesus with the faithfulness and humility that St. Matthew did. So let's begin with the first reading today, which is from the book of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. For me, this sets the tone for the feast day today. We are encouraged, as Matthew was, to let go of our self-reliance and open our hearts to God's guidance. And the passage continues, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." What a fitting reminder as we consider Matthew's own path, from being a despised member of the community, a tax collector, to an apostle no less of Jesus. Matthew's very own story very simply teaches us, or is an example of, what happens when we trust in God. Sometimes against our own instincts or the world's expectations, and we thus find ourselves on a journey we may not have chosen for ourselves at all, but one that is transformative and draws us closer who God would have us be. In this way, I think this verse from Proverbs invites us to seek wisdom by surrendering control, and to see with the eyes of faith rather than calculation. The psalmist in Psalm 19 proclaims, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork." Matthew's calling happens, of course, within the context of God's creation, under those same heavens that declare God's glory. The psalmist reminds us that God's presence is not confined to a single person like Matthew, or a place or a moment, but every day bears witness to the Creator, and every life, including Matthew's, participates in this testimony. The psalmist, I think, draws our gaze upwards, inviting us to see ourselves as much a part of a larger story than the one that we see right in front of us. Matthew's transformation was not just for his own benefit, as wonderful as that was, but for the glory of God, a glory that fills the world and calls each of us to respond in gratitude and in awe. St. Paul's words to the church in Ephesus have a more pointed nature to them, and being Paul, he takes a long time to get there. He urges us to, quote, "lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called." Each of us in our baptism is called to be a member of the body of Christ, no less. And some of us who have particular callings within that body, such as Scott Walker, our theological student, who offers his life in the service of Christ as a deacon and priest. But like Matthew, this calling does not come without cost. Matthew was called by Jesus to leave his post, his business, his life, his place in the pecking order, and follow the Messiah. This is a radical act of trust that one is called into the life of a greater purpose. In St. Paul's case, that of the body of Christ no less. And for Paul, unity is at the heart of Christian living. He writes, "There is one body and one spirit and one hope and one Lord, one faith, one baptism. In short, we are in this together as one." So as we honour St. Matthew today with Christians all around the world, we remember, I think, that each of us has a unique calling, yet we are united together in Christ. The diversity and gifts of backgrounds of the disciples themselves, who were tax collectors, fishermen, doctors, teachers, comes together in the body of Christ as one. Matthew's inclusion as an apostle, no less, reminds us that no one is beyond the reach of grace, and no calling is insignificant. We are called to bear with one another in love, to seek maturity in faith, and to build up the body so that all may attain the measure of the full stature of Christ. So part of our mission and our life here at St. John's is going to be always this, as far as I see it, to each of us play our part in building each other up, of building up the church here in this place, such that in our local community people can see and hear a community that not only speaks of Jesus' name, but lives a life worthy of that name. And so we come to our gospel reading today, the calling of Matthew in no less than the gospel that bears his name. We hear that Jesus sees him at his tax booth and simply says, "Follow me." Matthew gets up and follows. There is no hesitation, there is no bargaining, just a response to Jesus' invitation. When I imagine this scene, I imagine Jesus walking into an H&R Block and the door opens and ding dong, he walks in and says to the lead, accountant or the first person he comes across, "Follow me." And whoever it is stands up and follows them out. That's the extraordinary nature of this event. And this event is remarkable not only for its simplicity, "Follow me," and he does, but for its radical grace. Because tax collectors were about the bottom of the ladder in Jesus' time. They were despised members of the community. Depending on who you ask, they were considered traitors, sinners, and or collaborators with the Roman Empire. They were well known for ripping people off and using violence to extract taxes. You thought the ATO was bad. Yet what we learn in this calling is that Jesus does not demand purity or perfection as a prerequisite for discipleship. Instead, we learn that Jesus dines with, quote, "many tax collectors and sinners," unquote. And he's done this so often, in fact, that the religious leaders of his time ask, quote, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" unquote. And Jesus simply replies, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." St. Matthew's story is our story. We too are called not because of our merit, but because of Christ's mercy. We're invited to leave behind whatever keeps us from following him, pride or reputation, comfort, sin, whatever it is, and to embrace the new life that Jesus offers everyone. And so St. Matthew's Day invites us to remember that God's call often comes to us in the midst of ordinary life, and that our response, however faltering, can open a door to great transformation. So what then might this mean for us to follow Matthew's example in today's world? Firstly, I think it means responding to Jesus' call with trust, even when it disrupts our plans or challenges our assumptions. To trust in the Lord with all your heart is to believe that God's grace can transform anyone, no matter their past or their place in the community. Secondly, I think it means living in unity and in humility, and seeking always to build up the community rather than to play our part in dividing it. Paul's vision in his letter to the Ephesians calls us to bear with one another, to value the gifts that each person brings, and work towards maturity in faith. In Australia, as in every nation, the church is thus called to be, I think, a place of welcome and of mercy, and a community that chooses to break down barriers by inviting everyone to the table and building each member up. At this time of what I would describe as acidic division in our broader community, perhaps the greatest witness that we can make as Christians is to be people who build each other up, to love one's enemy, and not be people of ridicule, derision, or division. Lastly, there is something to be said for recognizing that the glory of God is revealed not only in the heavens, as the psalmist writes in our beautiful choir sung this morning, because we so often think of the glory of God as being in these great and wonderful things of grandeur and awe, but we also see them in the lives of those who respond to Christ's invitation. I see it in the lives of those who are offering themselves this day to be baptized and confirmed and received into the life of the church. Each of us bears witness to God's mercy, not only through our words, but through our willingness to be transformed and sent. So, what happened to dear St. Matthew after his call and discipleship? Well, Matthew's apostolic journey is steeped in rich tradition and rich history, but it comes from some fairly unreliable sources of information. The early church fathers like Irenaeus and Clement of Alexandria suggest that Matthew went on to preach the gospel in Judea before embarking on missions to other lands, with Ethiopia often cited as one of his destinations. One notable tradition associated with Matthew involves his encounter with King Hyrtacus in Ethiopia, who I'm sure you're very well accustomed to knowing, you know, King Hyrtacus. Well, apparently, when Matthew came into King Hyrtacus's orbit, it was Matthew's steadfast devotion to his faith that led him to confront the king for lusting after a woman by the name of Iphigenia, who was, of all people, a nun. Matthew's rebuke of the king of Ethiopia, at least according to tradition, led to his martyrdom, solidifying his commitment to his faith. Like other gospel writers, artists have often depicted St. Matthew as one of the four living creatures described in Revelation 4, in which St. Matthew appears as a winged man. And you'll be pleased to know, but might not be too surprised, that St. Matthew, as a former tax collector, is the patron saint of accountants, bankers — I didn't realise they had patron saints — bookkeepers, customs officers — think of that the next time you're at the airport — security guards, stockbrokers, and, unremarkably, tax collectors. If you're one of these and your name is Matthew, well, double blessings on you today. As we celebrate St. Matthew's Day, I do pray that we can hear again the words of Jesus, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Let us be a merciful community. Welcomes the outsider. Let us be people who trust in God's wisdom, and disciples who are willing to leave behind the familiar for the sake of the gospel. May we, like Matthew, respond to Christ's call with faith and with courage. May we be transformed by being merciful, and by Christ's mercy, united in purpose and sent out to proclaim this glory of God in our homes, our workplaces, and our community. Amen.